Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thank you for being here, podcast listener. That's you. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep on saying it for as long as Radio City people have me. We are incredibly lucky to be living in a community that is so rich with talent. It's one of the reasons I wanted to come back to St. Pete after my stints in New York City. I knew what was waiting for me here. My community of like-minded artists who have each other's backs and care about this stuff as much as I do. When you live in a big city that has all that stuff, it's exciting and it's fun, but you feel like it's far away from you being able to be part of it. Every time I come home to Florida, it's the opposite. I feel loved and supported, and we're all doing this together, and it's the reason I got into this business in the first place. So we are so lucky to have so many great, talented individuals in St. Pete. My guest today is one such individual. I met him during theater here in St. Pete, and he really impressed me with his passion for his work and his devotion to highlighting others in the community, which is, I think, what we're all trying to do here at Radio St. Pete. So I really was excited when he said, sure, I'll come on the podcast. So please welcome Jonathan O'Brien to Big Broadway Energy. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. I love your energy. It's like this energy of like, I can't wait to do something. And every time we were together, like before a show started or a rehearsal, like you come in, you're always just like, let's do it. Let's do it. Like there's just fun, like Labrador Retriever energy, which I love.
It's unbridled ADHD, honestly. Okay. There's something about it that just really helps you keep that passion going. I don't know what it is.
I love it. That's so great. And Jonathan and I met working at American Stage last year. We did a really cool project together called Weird in St. Pete, which was this really interactive experience that was done at Floridorama, which is a local museum here in St. Pete. I have had a few other guests from the show on our podcast, but how did you get involved in that project, Jonathan?
So I guess technically it starts out, Weird in St. Pete was a part of, as you know, it's a part of their Beyond the Stage series at American
right.
Stage. Last year, I had the chance to luckily be involved in some Beyond the Stage projects in their first year. But luckily, I was able to be invited back. I was asked to audition for Weird in St. Pete. I did. And we ended up doing it all together.
How did you get involved in the first place? Because I think what I love so much about this series at American Stage is that it is engaging people that think theater is one thing, but they experience something so much more, I don't know. It's like it gives people that might not want to sit in a theater and watch traditional play that same experience of live theater. I want to know, I got involved because through a director and playwright, we had done another project and he invited me on. How did you get involved?
So, funnily enough, actually just auditioning for American Stage's season audition. Okay. I think this was 2023, my audition for the season audition. And I remember at the time, one of the people in the room mentioned if I'd be interested in auditioning for a side project that American Stage was doing involving local actors. And I told him, yeah, of course, I'd love to be considered. And then a few months later, they had an official audition for the Beyond the Stage company. From the moment of seeing the requirement, like what we needed to do for the audition, I kind of had a gut instinct that like this is something I really wanted to be a part of. For that audition, they wanted us to come in with a monologue that was kind of like a campfire story.
Oh, I love
that. They specifically wanted some kind of scary story or some kind of spooky story. I was having such a hard time finding something to do because I was like,
What constitutes spooky these
days?
Yeah,
well, also, like, what play or musical or piece of media do I know that has that kind of vibe that'll fit?
Right.
So I just kind of spitballed and wrote something out myself. I made up a fake story about the old Skinwalker stories that you hear about in Appalachia. And they ended up offering me a spot in the Beyond the Stage company. And ever since then, I will always go back to it. There's something about it that, like you said, being able to give an experience outside of the normal parameters of what we think theater is or can be, being able to push that box with stuff like Weird in St. Pete or like Tales by Twilight, getting to do a show literally out on a nature trail, but not just like in one place stationary, you know, like in some kind of stadium or auditorium setup, actually getting to walk around an entire mile's worth of property and to treat all of that as like your quote unquote stage.
Right.
I mean, also, it's just a great workout. I'm not going to lie.
Getting your steps in.
Yeah, no, literally every
love
day.
That.
But yeah.
I love that. And the first thing that they did for Beyond the Stage was some sort of like zombie themed thing.
Yes, okay. It was the first Tales by Twilight show was 10 Ways to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse. I assumed that was why.
Okay.
But then when I heard about everything else that they were doing with Beyond the Stage, I was like, oh, this is just also such a cool bonus.
It really is.
Yeah. Hearing about Tales by Twilight and doing a show out in the trail. But then they mentioned their other projects with Beyond the Stage, like Fresh Ink and stuff like that. And just since then, I was like, oh my gosh, these people know where it's at. This is so cool. So Zombies was the inaugural production for Tales by Twilight and one of the first projects of Beyond the Stage. And that was just such an interesting test ground for getting to do exactly like what we're talking about in the rehearsal process. Anthony was our director for that. We really had to figure out physically how we were going to be able to tell the story, because we had to move from the start of the show to the end of the show. We have to end in one place physically and start in one place and end in another. So throughout the process, we had to figure out, okay, we'd have a map of the trail and Anthony would be like, hey, we're going to stop at this point on the trail to do this scene. The show just kind of happened to work. There were 10 methods, obviously, in the title. And so we would do one or two scenes in one place, move down the trail, do another quote-unquote method. It was really interesting to figure that out.
So cool. And that was also at Boyd Hill, right?
Yes. Both Tales by Twilight Productions have been at Boyd Hill.
It's such a great idea, and it is like literally a journey. Like, we always, actors on stage are like, we're going to take you on a journey. Like, these kinds of things, we are literally taking you on a literal journey.
It's such a great acting exercise, too, because, I mean, like, from the second you step out there to, like, from the moment the show ends, unless you are fully out of view of the audience, you have to be on. In Tales by Twilight this year, we just so happened, there was one performance where we had someone come onto the trail where they weren't supposed to be there. The trail was closed and they were not an audience member. Mind you, while this was happening, the audience was maybe like a half mile down the trail. I'm hiding off on the side, catching my breath. It's like my one chance I had to get to, like, breathe, decompress before having to go out and continue to be on it on like a level 10 in my energy.
Right.
So I'm like sitting there, catching my breath, being like, and then these people randomly come up from the corner, like, hi. Ah. Like, is this the trail? And in that moment, I was like,
what do I do?
Yeah. No, exactly. Like, it is. In that moment, I was like, I just had to completely drop it and tell them, hey, you know, there's a show going on, just to let you know. But it's such a great exercise to really have to flip in and out.
It's so true. And you were mentioning Don't Feed the Animals. That's the second show that they did at Boyd Hill that happened earlier this year. But it's so true. You know, when we did Weird in St. Pete, it was the same vibe. Instead of us walking around, we were sort of stationed in our little stations and people would come to us and we kind of created this moment with them and then went to the next moment in time, right? Which is really cool. You were the male person who sort of like, you know, you were the leader. You kind of like narrated them around and kind of dumped them in the right spot for each thing or whatever, which was a really cool idea. But for me as an actor, it was so challenging because I'm not a great improviser. I like to know my track and be like, that's what I do. And I love when things go differently on stage and then you can kind of feel your way through it. But that white hot fear of like, who's going to show up? How are we going to? But it reminded me when I worked at Disney right out of college, I was in entertainment there and it was the same thing. Like when you were in front of guests, they called it on stage, whether you were an entertainer or you worked, you know, as a custodian, like you were on set when you were in front of guests. And no matter what happens, you have to react in the way that Disney wanted you to react, whether you were like playing Pluto or you were a custodian. So there was this really cool feeling of like, you had this responsibility to like keep it together. And that's kind of the vibe I got Weird in St. Pete, this idea of like, I'm thirsty or I have to go to the bathroom or I don't want to talk to this person who's not even listening to me. But you sort of have to do it. It's your job.
Yeah, you have to figure out, it is our job to go there and be the character that we're assigned to be and everything. And it is our job to navigate the audiences.
Yeah.
I feel you. There'd be times where during Weird in St. Pete where I have my little banter. I tried to be a little quippy and snarky as the male person. And
you had a great character too. Like, you created a really fun character. It was cute.
You know, Anthony in callbacks for that, when I like had me like read the Postman monologue, he had me read it and was like, give it an Amy Poehler, like Leslie Knope kind of vibe. And at the time, hadn't watched Parks and Rec. So I was just kind of nodded for
you
a second.
Do your research.
Like, yeah, no, I fully ended up, I think I binged like two seasons at least during Weird in St. Pete just to like get that vibe.
I felt that Leslie Knope vibe. You really brought it. You totally brought it.
We really had to flip the switch to like being able to figure out, okay, how am I going to pull it out of this person? Because sometimes you get an audience member who is a little more stoic, maybe a little bit more skeptical. They don't want to drop the suspension of disbelief.
But right.
If you can catch them off guard, if you can say one thing that they're not expecting you to hear and get them to laugh, they're in. They get it. They fully dropped their reservations and everything.
That's true. You, as the first person that they saw when they bought tickets to that show, you were responsible for sort of setting the tone in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so a lot of people, you know, I don't love going to interactive theater because I don't want to like participate unless I want to. So people, yeah. you know, are... They, to your point, they were very reserved, and I, you know, I played a guy who had an accent and an older guy, and I had to kind of create this thing
so good.
In the spaceship. I was in like the little spaceship of Floridorama. If you've never been to Floridorama, everybody, you got to go see it. It is so interactive. It's such a cool experience, and we were all had our little spots, and it was just really fun to figure out like. How, like, sometimes we'd have 25 people in a group, and sometimes we'd have two.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are we going to do this for two people? And you end up really creating, like, a little back and forth with them. It's like a more of a conversation.
Oh, fully, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great with the smaller groups to get to form more of a personal connection and to kind of, like, I mean, also because, you know, like, when we... The whole movement of time with Weird and St. Pete, we were kind of on a little bit of a rotating schedule where
right.
like, the next show had to start.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to feel out with certain crowds. You know, if it's a bigger crowd, you might not be able to banter as much. If it's like a group of two, then you can kind of be able to go deeper and
yeah.
form a personal connection. Like
yeah.
I, throughout the process, had to just start coming up with stuff
sure.
about my own character because I was like, I need
more.
Something to
yeah.
tell these. I need something to say.
It's true. It made us stronger actors, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely was inspired by watching also everyone else around me. Like Dylan, for example, for context for our listeners, so Dylan Barlow was an actor in Weird and St. Pete. He played Jack Kerouac. But Dylan, in his off scenes, would just kind of roam a little bit, you know, right. but audience members would see him and he'd keep that, like waiting in the spaceship. Like every now and then someone might pass, they might look at you and you would just have that. Also, that like stoic Russian vibe of just like making eye contact with
yeah.
that Kubrick stare.
It
and
was
then, like,
fun.
Continuing.
No, it was really fun.
Everyone really inspired me to up my game.
Yeah,
and
it
to
was
just
great.
Keep up with everyone else.
It was a fun company too. All right, let's talk a little bit about you for a second. So, have you always sort of found your people in the theater? Like, how did you find the arts? Has the arts always been your goal?
It's definitely something that I've always been drawn to in particular in my life. Luckily, being born and raised in St. Pete. We get a lot of opportunities throughout either whether it's community projects or school. There's a lot of opportunities in this area
totally.
Artistically. Luckily, I had the chance in elementary school to go to an arts magnet school. I attended Perkins Elementary where they would teach us. We had music classes. We had like marimba classes every now and then. I mean, they really tried to teach us every facet of the arts. I always kind of knew as a child, I was just thinking about this earlier on my way here, that a storytelling I knew was always something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I would try to write like little short stories in a spiral notebook or something. Finding theater in like the third or fourth grade, I loved being a ham. I like making people laugh. I like being a ham for people and entertaining people. And I found that for a while. And then in middle school, I kind of branched into classical music and wind ensemble, band. And for a while, I was more in the music side of the arts. But I always knew no matter what, that I was somewhere artistically expressive, that it was going to work. And I mean, post around like senior year of high school is kind of when I started getting involved in theater and everything. And that was kind of where I started to figure out, I really love this craft of whether, I mean, at first it was music, like just musicals really, because the snob classical musician in me was like, oh yes, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Stephen Sondheim, which don't get me wrong. I could talk to you about Stephen Sondheim all day.
Me too. Let's do that next time.
No, yeah. But also upon, you know, getting to witness plays live and getting to finally act in a play, I just really realized that like, being in the theater is where it's at for me.
Yeah.
It's where I feel the most fulfilled and also able to express authentically.
For sure.
And have it make sense and not get overwhelmed or too overstressed or not overthink too much. Don't get me wrong. I'll still get in my head. But I can get out in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, I can get out of it.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. And to that point, theater always made me feel seen. Like,
yeah.
I just recently started a theater company here in St. Petersburg, and a lot of people ask me, like, so you decided to leave your very secure job to do this? And I thought, yeah, I did. You know why? It's because I have lived a pretty solitary life, if I'm honest, but every time I walk into a theater, I feel like I'm among friends who see me and respect me and love me.
Yeah.
And you can't replace that feeling. Like, there's just something about owning a piece of theater or like going in there and killing it and being in your audience responding, and you're like, oh, that feels great. I mean, it's always great. But like just being able to do it and knowing you have a home just feels really like it's just, it's hard to express to anybody who doesn't get it. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think, you know, a lot of people, regardless of whether or not it's a career in the arts or whatever, whether it's serving for your city, a lot of people feel some kind of calling to something in their life. And whether or not whatever job it is, you got to pursue that. Not to get cheesy, but, you know, to quote Candor and Ebb, the sun will rise and the moon will set and you'll learn how to settle for what you get. It'll all go on whether we're here or not. You have to use the time that we are allotted in our lives to live it to at least our fullest and our happiest extent. You don't want to do something that you're not at least fulfilled in some way by.
100%.
And, you know, for people who find that in the theater, we just know when, you know, when you find that
you
home.
Find it for sure. And just for future reference, you can be cheesy on Big Broadway Energy. We embrace cheese, so don't worry about it in any form. Okay, so in addition to your work as an actor and director in the area, you're also on the board of directors for a really cool organization, which is called Theater Tampa Bay. Tell us a little bit about Theater Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so Theater Tampa Bay is a local organization that is primarily dedicated to promoting and letting the area know about what's going on in the professional scene in Tampa Bay overall, St. Pete, Tampa. We're kind of dedicated to not only just promoting that, also though, we want to be able to provide opportunities for professional actors in the area. We're responsible, Theater Tampa Bay is responsible for organizing the Tampa Unified auditions every year. For those at home who don't know, Tampa Unified is essentially a chance for actors to get 2 minutes to audition for a plethora of professional companies in the area. Stageworks Theater, Jobsite Theater, Think Tank Theater, Tampa Repertory, just a bunch of them. Even some in like the park entertainment, like we have a Oddities Theater they hire out for Lowry Park Zoo, or sorry, Tampa Zoo, Zoo Tampa. Sorry, I forgot. Listen,
it's had a lot of names, that place. I agree. Yeah, me too.
I grew up going to it as
Lowry Park, baby.
Yeah. So we provide opportunities for the actors to be able to get out in front of these people who may not always have the opportunity to get out and audition. We're looking within the next years. Theater Tampa Bay has also been navigating the post-pandemic world.
Sure.
We really would also love to start focusing more on promoting even more for these companies. We want people to get in the theater. People should get in the theater. I mean, you know, to bring it back to the Beyond the Stage stuff at American Stage, what I love so much about being able to do stuff with Beyond the Stage is that it pulls all kinds of audiences.
100%.
There are tons of people I know who, like, I'll talk to, you know, in my spare time when I'm hanging out. For example, I hang out I work in the service industry. I hang out in the kava bar scene. I'll be talking to regulars, you know, hanging out, and I'll tell them about, they'll be like, Johnny, what show are you doing? And I'll talk to them and be like, yeah, I'm doing the show on a nature trail. And suddenly they're peaked.
They're interested. Listening.
I've had people go because they're like, oh, that sounds so cool. These people just need the exposure to know what's happening.
For sure.
I mean, heck, I even had friends a few years ago in Think Tank Theater and Tampa Repertory co-produced The Crucible. I told some friends of mine about that because I was like, oh, Crucible could play. Like, I saw it and was like, it was such a fantastic production. And I had friends who don't normally go to the theater who were set. Yeah. They went and saw it on their own. I didn't even have to make plans to go hang out with them. They heard this cool production of this play was happening, and they went. People just need to be aware of the things that are going on in the area, and we want to promote even more and get people in the theater. And then also provide opportunities for actors, you know, to maybe host some acting workshops for them, to brush up on their audition game, or just to be able to maybe talk and work with other professionals in the area.
Yeah.
That's primarily what we're all dedicated to.
I love that so much. And where can people get more information?
You can go to our website, theatertampabay.org. That is theater with T-H-E-A-T-R-E at the end. But theatertampabay.org is primarily where you can find our website. It has all our information on what companies are members of Theater Tampa Bay, opportunities we provide throughout the year, info on how to join our membership program.
I'm the same way. Whenever I go out with anybody, I'm reminding people how rich we are in theater in St. Pete, you know, like in Tampa Bay in general. This is incredible. Speaking of honors, the Tony Awards are coming up quickly.
Yes.
Do you have any, I mean, this is going to air after the Tonys, but do you have any predictions? And then we'll say, have you seen anything this season?
I have not. I've seen things, but not in New York, online.
Do you have any favorites? Let's ask that.
You know what? I've got two heavy favorites right here. So for one thing, Audra McDonald and Gypsy. I knew from the second it was announced that it was going to be fantastic. I love her ability to perform. She's so inspiring as an actor, the way she is able to dive in these characters and become them.
Yeah.
But then also, here's my conspiracy theory for the Tonys.
Okay.
So this is a really stacked year in the leading actress category. It is so stacked. I mean, we have Audra, we have Megan Hilty and Jen Samard for Death Becomes Her. We have so many people. I think because it's so stacked, I hope Jasmine Amy Rogers is able to pull through with...
For Boop?
For Boop.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
I would love to see it.
I heard she's unbelievable in it, which is so funny. Like, people didn't have much, you know, hope for that show, to be honest. Yeah. But people are loving it.
Everything I've seen, she is just killing it.
I would love that too, actually.
That
would be cool.
My senior year of high school was the first time I ever watched the Jimmy Awards. And she was a finalist that year. And I watched her in the medley performance. I watched her sing... She was a finalist for Into the Woods, and she did a short medley of Last Midnight. And I remember back then watching her and be like, oh, whoever that is, wow, she's fantastic. I cannot wait to see what that young woman does in the future.
How we see her.
Now she's Betty Boop.
So many people came from the Jimmy Awards. I love that organization, too. It's so great to see people actually doing what they want to do after high school. Okay, last question for you before we let you go. I ask everybody the same question. What does art mean to you?
Ooh. Art is, the way I see it is, art is the foundational stone of culture and movement in society. I remember in high school, my U.S. history teacher, Pinellas County teacher of the year 2025, Dennis Erker, he instilled in us that society, no matter what, will only always get more progressive as it continues. And we see that in a lot of things. There's been a lot of things over the years that may have been like a joke before that now we revisit and we're like, this is a little insensitive. But not only in that, we get that way, I think, primarily through art, through things that challenge the boundaries of what we talk about, what we consider taboo or not. For example, look at productions of shows like Spring Awakening. When that originally ran, that was a game changer. Even to this day, community theaters that do Spring Awakening will still have people walk out mid-show. That show was originally written in the 1800s. It is still something that challenges the boundaries. Art will always be the foundational cornerstone of how we progress as humans. And we are nothing without it. At the end of the day, it's a way to tell stories. And storytelling has been the modicum of how we learn and how we grow and our morals for years. Look at Into the Woods, for example. It's based on fairy tales.
Yeah.
Fairy tales are what our children hear in order to be, you know, instilled in their own methods,
right,
or their own like ideas and things. Art is just, it is the entire progression of our world to me.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Jonathan. Thanks for all you do for the community,
and
thanks for your talent. Really, truly, it's great to see you. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. And if you are a listener to BBE, the radio show, we are getting a new time slot upgrade starting on June 1st. This is going to air after June 1st, so hopefully you've joined us at 5 p.m. on Sunday instead of 10 p.m. on Sunday. So from now on, 5 p.m. Sundays, Radio St. Pete, you will hear Big Broadway Energy, the radio show. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me, will you? I'm at bigbroadwayenergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.